Thank you for listening to this message preached at Life Changes Church in Cape Town, South Africa. Our prayer is that as you listen to this inspiring message, your life will be transformed to love Jesus more passionately and equipped to do His will more fervently.
The Gospel of John is what we often call John the Revelator, because he gets incredible revelation. It's the same John who wrote the book of Revelation. This, by the way, the book of Revelation is a really happy book, not a bad book, not a sad book. The key to understanding Revelation is that we win. Alright? It's a book of prophecy that can encourage. Well, John chapter 1 and verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, at the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" I don't you like that about Nathanael? Jesus gives him a compliment and he says, "Yeah, I know. How do you know me?" He doesn't deny who God's made him to be. He recognizes who God's made him to be. Okay, and then he goes on to say, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." He's getting a word of knowledge. That's what was happening here. Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, you're the King of Israel." He gets incredible revelation simply because Jesus brings a word of knowledge. And Jesus answered him and said, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Touch your neighbor and say, "Greater things than these." Now you've got to say it like you believe it. Greater things than these. And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." The angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. God has called us to be a people who live supernaturally natural. God's natural is supernatural. And God has designed for us to live in the dynamic of the supernatural, because when we understand the supernatural, the realm of heaven, the realm of God, we will understand that which is being deployed and set aside for us in order to walk in to the great purposes of God. Many of us don't realize this, but there is a whole heavenly dimension, some of which young Benjamin began to see in the Spirit, that God has available to help us live on this earth so that His kingdom would be made manifest. And because of some stinking thinking that came into the early church that separated the spirit world from the physical world, we've lived compartmentalized and we've said, well, if it's in the spirit world, it cannot be measured by our intellect, therefore it cannot be true. And the result is that it's produced some kind of unbelief, skepticism, and cynicism in the hearts of even believers, so that when we read the scriptures, we think that it does not apply to us, or that it was only for a particular dispensation in those days. In fact, there are some who actually have a theology saying that God's miraculous power has stopped because He's working differently to us today, which is contrary to what the scripture says, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If Jesus needed the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the supernatural, we need it. Because He modeled for us what it's like to live as a man submitted to the Holy Spirit, living in the power and in the dynamic of the Holy Spirit. And what's happened in past moves of God is that there have been great men and women of God who've come through our ranks and who've done extraordinary things for God, moved in phenomenal signs and wonders and miracles, and have died with the revelation that actually this is for everyone. And sometimes we think that a special person with a special anointing, a special call, gets to do the miraculous move in the supernatural, when actually it is the inheritance of every child of God. And the day has come, and I'm so excited that God is unlocking those things which have been hidden. Listen, it's not that these things are secret. It's not that these things are hidden in the sense of greater truth or new revelation. It's this truth has always been there. It's just been rediscovered by us in this day. So we can begin to pursue Him. And not only that, not only is it just being rediscovered, it's coming to us simply because God's good. He's incredibly kind. You know, I meet so many people fast for days and days, clearly I don't, and they're like, come on, Lord, breakthrough, breakthrough, breakthrough. And in this season, fasting is not about moving the hand of God. Fasting is about subjecting a particular need, physical need, in order to pursue a higher spiritual need called worship. I don't fast to move the hand of God, I fast to get God's perspective. Because fasting is feasting, if you get it right. And for many of us, we're trying to pursue the supernatural, and we've got books on the supernatural, and we've got literature on the supernatural, how to go deeper in your spiritual gift, how to go higher in your prophetic gift, how to go wider in your evangelistic gift. And we've got all these books. Yet, by and large, the church is still immobilized and demilitarized from moving in the thing that God's called them to. God's called you to do it. The whole point of me being a prophet is to release you to do it. I've got to equip you to do the work of the ministry. And I love this text because it's so fantastically full of great little bits in it. It's great in terms of our understanding of the workings of God and the workings of the kingdom. Jesus says to Nathanael, just because I bring you a word of knowledge, you're impressed, wait till you see what's coming your way next. I mean, have you ever read the Bible and seen some of the crazy things that happened in the Bible? Do you know that Jesus teleports and levitates? Some of you are like, right, we have certainly come to a cult now. What am I going to do? This is in the Bible. The Bible says, in the Gospel, that Jesus was standing on the shore, waves his disciples goodbye, says, I'll meet you on the other side. And it takes a few days to get to the other side. But by the time they're on the other side of the boat, he's standing at the shore waiting for them. How did he get there? He was teleported supernaturally. Good old Philip, he outruns a chariot. I mean, wait, this is even wilder. Ezekiel, here's a good example of levitation, is lifted by the lock of his hair, the Bible says, and taken to the top of a mountain, and put on the top of a mountain. I want to see that movie. I mean, imagine what that must have been like. I mean, this is like sci-fi on steroids, right? I mean, it's completely crazy. I mean, one bit in Exodus, I think it's right about chapter 25, towards the end of Exodus, Moses decides he's going to walk up a mountain with 70 of his elders, and as he does that, he finds himself in heaven on tiles of emerald, and a meal is prepared by God for them. I want to know what God served them. Must have been nouveau cuisine out of heaven. I mean, it must have tasted like heaven. Well, how's this for a little one? Just to freak you a little bit more. There's this little girl called Rhoda. Bless her, she's sweet. She's a servant girl. Peter is stuck in prison. Now, this is a double whammy here. Firstly, Peter's stuck in prison. There's an earthquake. And an angel has to wake Peter up in the midst of an earthquake. Go figure. I mean, imagine, there's an earthquake, he's still sleeping through the earthquake. You've got to have some kind of peace to be able to do that, right? And then the angel has to wake him up and says, by the way, Peter, the gates are free, you can go. And he finds that he changes off and he can leave. And he gets to the house where they pray. Now these guys are earnestly praying for Peter. They are interceding. They've got their best intercessors waving flags, blowing shofars and praying in tongues. I mean, and it's just one of those crazy prayer meetings. That was just my reading into that. Not in the Bible. Just joke. And there's a knock on the door and Rhoda goes down and she hears Peter's voice, right? She gets such a fright that she runs back upstairs without opening the door and says, Peter's downstairs. Do you know what the intercessors, spiritual discerning intercessors and great apostles say? Oh no, that's Peter's angel. I'm thinking, even if it is Peter's angel, why don't you invite the jolly thing in? I mean, they were so accustomed to angelic activity that they were like, oh, okay. It says in the verse, they insisted it was only his angel. Imagine that. There's a dynamic in the kingdom of heaven that is wild, that is full. The problem is most of the angelic realm is bored because we've not ever deployed them or released them or understood how to work together with them. How many of you here can walk into a room and sense something demonic? Put up your hand quickly. You can walk into a shop, walk into a place, keep your hand quite up high. You can watch a movie, feel something, or music, and you feel something demonic. Quickly, put up your hand. Hi, 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 hi. Just look around, everyone. Look around. Great. Now put your hands down. How many of you can regularly sense angelic presence? Put up your hands. Look how few hands have just gone up in comparison to the amount of hands that went up about the demons. Here's my point. There are more angels than there are demons. We should be expecting the angelic more than the demonic. Problem is, the church has had more faith in the devil's ability to deceive us than in God's ability to lead us. You see, faith in the realm of the unseen means that what we partner with, we release. And most of us are looking for a demon behind every bush, trying to do spiritual warfare at every level. Strategic level spiritual warfare 101. And we miss the point that we've got a whole load of angels working with us and on our behalf. And if Jesus needed to be ministered to by angels as the Son of Man, I think I'd like to suggest that we too need to be ministered by angels. That might be the Lord. Might be Peter's angel. No, I'm joking. You see, there's a dynamic of the supernatural realm that the church has been afraid of because of abuse in the past. And you cannot rectify abuse by ignoring or denying what happened. You can only rectify abuse by using it correctly. And God's restoring an articulation. He's restoring an understanding. Listen, the world gets this much quicker. I have people in the world come up to me and go, oh my gosh, man, the bright aura around you is amazing. I've never seen anything that bright before. They understand what the anointing looks like. They just got a different word for it. I was prophesying in Cornwall. If you know anything about Cornwall, it is like the hot seat for fortune tellers, clairvoyants, and all sorts of people in Cornwall. This clairvoyant comes to the meeting. It was incredible. And she says to me, I have done all the stuff that you've done. I could bring these words of knowledge that you call words of knowledge. I could do all that stuff. But she said, I have never seen a purity and brightness of light on anyone like I've seen it on you. Why? Because I carry perfected light. They might have a measure of revelation. Listen, people in the world have a measure of revelation. They just can't have full revelation who is Jesus. And God's wanting to unlock the supernatural. And Jesus says to Nathanael, if you think that just bringing the word of knowledge is impressive, wait till you see the angelic ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now listen, you need to understand this, because this is an incredible truth to you entering into the realm of the supernatural. Jesus is referring to something that happened in Genesis chapter 18, where Jacob, who is broke and on the run from his brother, has an encounter with heaven in a place called Bethel, the house of God. And in that place called the house of God, he sees a ladder from heaven come down to the earth, heaven and earth joining. The only time that we've seen this since up until that point was in the Garden of Eden. And here we see this ladder ascending and descending, and angels ascending upon it and descending upon it, the cooperation between an open heaven and the earth, so that there's no hindrance between favor that comes down and blessing that goes up, right? That's the picture. And Jesus comes to Nathanael and he says, you know that ladder in Genesis chapter 18? I am that ladder. I am the one upon which angels ascend and descend. And just so that you understand what this means, that when you gather together as the house of God and you begin to worship Jesus, the Son of God, you're going to begin to have access in an unrestricted, unhindered way, because I am the way to the Father. I am the way to Him. So that you, being in me, begin to understand how to cooperate with heaven and earth, because you are in the ladder. That's a very powerful thing if you get it. Because the supernatural for me is no longer divorced and somewhere out there. I'm in the naturally supernatural man called Jesus. You see, the reason why I can be in Him is because Jesus is the firstborn from among creation to have a physical glorified body, and He is in the presence of the Father right now. There is a man with physical body. When Jesus appeared in the upper room with those disciples, they could touch Him, they could feel Him. He ached. There was a physical being that had been glorified. That means there is a man with a body unlike anyone else right now. There'll come a day when we will join Him and our bodies too will be glorified. And in a moment when we see Him, we will be like Him. To be glorious. But up until then, because there is a Son of Man and a Son of God in one person in heaven, in the presence of God, seated at the right hand of God, I now have access into that reality, because where He is, I may be also. And because He is in the heavens, my access to that realm is free, unhindered, and perpetually open forever. There's never going to be a day when heaven's going to be closed over you. There's never going to be a day when the Father's going to go, sorry, access denied today, I'm taking a break, it's a public holiday. It's not going to happen. And when you understand that you are in Christ, you are in the ladder, climbing the ladder is easy. You get to access the unhindered interaction between heaven and earth. Now some of you might be going, Julian, you're just talking at a whole other level here. Here's the simplicity of it. You have been born again by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. You live your Christian life by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. You will be glorified to look like Jesus by the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. The access into the heavenly realms, into the domain where God is, into the dwelling place where God is unhindered and free. All you need to do is learn how to train your senses to encounter that realm. That's all. And for those of you who are intellectual amongst us, who go, do you know, Julian, intellect and the Bible don't go together. Intellect and experience don't go together. Let me help you. There's a man called Dr. Luke, who is writing Luke and Acts to give an orderly account. He is Mr. Intellectual. The intellect is not at polar opposites with the supernatural. In fact, the intellect is needed to help process the supernatural. So let me help you a little bit more. You're going to see heaven open. In fact, heaven is open over you right now. Amen? Do you realize that? I go to Muslim nations and people say to me, oh, you're going to need double spiritual warfare this week. We're going to double pray for you, because really, it's very hard. No, it's not. I live under an open heaven. It means where I go, there is a portal that is unhindered. Portal means an opening that is straight over me that's unhindered. And you know what? All I need to do is press into Him to extend that portal over the region I'm in. It's not difficult. Jesus said His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He wasn't lying. And so how do I access that realm? How do I live in that realm? Because for many of us, we've misunderstood that because we thought, I've got to pray more, fast more, work harder, when actually what God is looking for are people who learn to posture themselves in the presence of God to expect Him to move. And I'm not going to take too long on this. I'm just going to touch on a few things very quickly because I want to help you unlock what God's in. How many of you, when you sense the demonic, you feel like your hair stand on edge? You feel that? Or you feel something in your tummy, and just you feel like, oh. Or you smell something, or you sense something. Right? It's exactly the same for the kingdom of heaven. Except we're orientating ourselves and we're learning to recognize His presence rather than the enemy's presence. So I'm in a meeting and the presence of God begins to come. How do I know that? Well, because I'm feeling something. I'm sensing something. My body's engaging with something. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 that we can train our senses by distinguishing between good and evil. So I'm learning to pick up my... suddenly there's a gust of wind that comes in and there's no aircon on and none of the doors are opening. Where did that come from? How come another time it happens and I'm looking around, no one's waving in front of me? Is God speaking to me? So I lean into Him so that which is seemingly natural has an opportunity to become supernatural. It's kind of like when Moses walks past a burning bush. And a burning bush in the desert place is not an uncommon thing. It's hot in the desert. But he stops and he suddenly sees that this burning bush is not being consumed. That which is natural just became supernatural. Some woman walking around trying to get some healing from God sees a thread, a hem on the garment of Jesus, sees a tassel on His prayer garment, and she goes, I'm going to grab that very natural looking tassel. And she grabs that thread, and in that moment, that natural thread becomes a conduit of faith for healing power. It becomes supernatural. Do you understand what I'm saying? What often happens is we're trying to wait for the great heavenly sound, Sean Connery's voice going, Julian, this is the Lord speaking. And we miss the little thought, the little picture, the little word that pops into our mind, which is an invitation into greater experience and encounter. You see, the Bible says that God wants to open the eyes of your heart. That word heart is where we get the word psyche from. It means your mind, your will, and emotions. There is nothing as powerful as a mind that has come under the lordship and under the power of Jesus. Because your imagination is directly related to your faith. So God says, whatever you think, ask, or imagine. It's an opportunity for you to exercise the eyes of your heart, the eyes of faith, and to enter into the realm of the unknown and unseen supernatural of God. It's a very powerful thing when you realize that sometimes when you're in the middle of worship and you see that little picture and you're thinking, get out of my mind, I want to worship Jesus. That very often that little picture is a doorway or an invitation into encounter with God. That's why Jesus told parables. Because parables, Jesus says, He hid and concealed truth in a parable for the hungry. And so He'd tell a parable, and only those who were hungry were pressing and saying, we had no clue what you were saying, but tell us please. And they got the rewards. It's exactly the same when you're in worship, when you're loving Jesus, and you get that little thought, that little nudge. It's an invocation to encounter Him. Or when you're driving in the car and that sense, that pulling sense in your heart saying, just worship Him right now. And you're like, yeah, but I've got to get to the next appointment. It's in that moment that there's an invocation to encounter the supernatural. It's in that moment when you're pushing the trolley in Pick and Pay and you see that person who you've seen there for a few weeks and you know you need to go and pray for them. But because you're a little bit afraid, it's in that moment it's an invocation to come into the supernatural. God wants to take you away with Him. He wants you to have encounter with Him. And it requires some men and women who won't stay on the safe side of that which is seen, but begin to press into the unseen realm of God, because faith can only operate in that which is unseen. Nathanael has an opportunity in that moment. Jesus says, you will see heaven open. Angels ascending and descending. You will exercise and come into an encounter with cooperating with heaven and earth. That's the life of a Christian. Now listen, God's going to speak to each one of you in very different ways. Sometimes my left hand will get hot, it's a sign that there's going to be healing. Sometimes I'll feel like electricity on my left side, and I know there's an angel on my left side, which there is right now, and some of you have probably seen it or have seen it already. There's often an angel on my left side. I don't understand why, but I do know that when I say, God, why is this angel here? He tells me what the angel wants to do so that I can partner with it and release it to you. Understand what I'm saying? Now listen, God wants to give you more revelation. And do you know what? All revelation is equal. So whether it's a still small voice, a little picture, or a trance encounter, it's all on the same line for God. I know some Christians who come in and go, Brother Julian, 4 o'clock this morning, an angel appeared at the foot of my bed. And I levitated for 5 minutes, and the Lord said unto me, I should preach this morning. Now, if the Lord can say that to me and I'm leading the meeting, you're probably not going to preach, just so you know. But just because you got that revelation doesn't make it any more important than the one who says, I just feel in my heart God wants to do this. All revelation is equal, and all revelation is subject to the Bible. Let me go there for a moment, because this is going to kill some holy cows. There are some people who love to prize prophetic revelation over the Bible, but revelation in the Bible is the highest form of revelation. It's the sweetest form of revelation. It's the purest form of revelation. And it is the most authoritative form of revelation. Every other revelation submits to the revealed Word of God. So when people come into a meeting and call you out to expose your sin, they're doing something unbiblical. Because the Bible says if you see sin in your brother, you go to them privately first. Gone are the days of prophets of doom and gloom. Hallelujah. Listen, the Bible, you know, I love intercessory groups. They gather together. I think I've got a rebuking word against the elder. Let's pray about it. This is what I think the Lord is saying. The problem is that the Bible says you shall not entertain an accusation against an elder. You've got to go to him first. And then take a witness with you. Yet I know so many people in churches accusing. Help me, Jesus. Listen. All authority must be subject to the Bible. So whether or not you get a great revelation about when Jesus is coming back, it's probably not going to happen, because not even the Bible has told us when He's coming back very clearly. Build a bridge. Get over it. Here's another one. Oof. I can smell the brine already. Here we go. I have a word from God and my pastors aren't listening to me. Do they know who I think I am? I mean, really? I have got a word from God. The problem is that submission to leadership is in the Bible. And not only that, it says you need to make it easy for your leaders. Your only responsibility is to just charge the word and leave. It's the eldership responsibility to wait. And do you know what? You might just get it wrong, so deal with it. I don't know why I'm hanging on this one here, but it's a good topic right now. We've got too many spiritual fruitcakes out there, space cadets, who want to fly in and tell people how to run church when they haven't even been able to run their families well. brothers and sisters, trust me, the prophetic is not the only gift that leads the church. I'm a prophet. I'm saying this because I've had to learn the art of joyful submission to leadership, because all authority flows from the place of submission. If you want genuine authority, it's not going to come because of your position. It's going to come because of your submission. And that's why the centurion says to Jesus, I know you are a man under authority, for I too am a man under authority. So you say a word and it happens. Notice he doesn't say, I am a man of authority. He says, I'm a man under authority, because it is submission that provides a platform for genuine spiritual authority. And if you don't get that right, you can have all the revelation in the world that you want, but your character and the call of God will be thwarted and won't work out, because you've not learned how to submit. Because Jesus himself had to submit to his own earthly parents, who were fallible and broken people. That's what the Bible says. Sweet Jesus. You see, revelation can come to you many different ways. Through the Bible, through the Word, through pictures. There's the other one. I don't need anyone else to speak to me, because God and I have a 24-hour direct hotline. No one tells me what to do, because I hear from God directly. Problem is that the greatest way God uses to speak to people is through other people. And in particular, the people that don't fit your particular religious box. Do you know why they didn't? Why Jesus says a prophet is without honor except in his own hometown? Because Jesus relates to what was happening right there to what happened with Elijah and Elisha. Do you know that because their packaging wasn't quite the packaging that the Israelites wanted, God bypassed the nation of covenant blessing to go to Gentile nations surrounding Israel like a widow of Nain, like Naaman the leper. They got the reward of prophetic blessing ahead of the covenant people of God, because they understood, despite the packaging, something's on this person I want to receive from them. Most of us miss what God is saying because we expect it to come from some man of God up front or woman of God up front, when very often he wants to use the grace grower that's in your home group, who frustrates you and acts like sandpaper up against you, to teach you and to guide and to help you. Do you know, the other night there was a lady here called Beth Byron, who's one of my favorite people. She's an unknown prophet. She's a beautiful Scottish lady. She has brought some of the most directional prophetic words to me, more accurate than most prophets that I know, and I know a few accurate prophets. Yet she's unknown, retired, lovely old lady. I could miss the direction that God wanted to give me by saying, well, I only need to hear from the latest and the greatest. Who are you? So are you Beth? You live where? I know, that's right. I want to go to the man of God, the woman of God, and get it from them. And I would have missed the very key directives that have set my ministry up in the place of fruitfulness. You see, the realm of the supernatural is not governed by brainless people. The realm of the supernatural is governed by people who engage their intellect and their hearts in order to see what God's doing. Does that make sense? Now, how do I posture myself for some of this? My notes have gone completely out the window. But anyway, your life in the supernatural is not always going to begin with lightning bolts from heaven. It's most often going to begin with you being faithful with the little. That's where it starts. The little revelation. You know that revelation that you sometimes get midweek Wednesday and you feel, you know, maybe I should cook for sister so-and-so. That revelation is as spiritual as a revelation that says, brother, you're going to China, God's going to open up a door for you. And when you start with the little stuff, because the simplest form of supernatural life is encouragement. When you start with the little stuff, God will add the big stuff to you. And you've got to posture yourself like that. Not only that, you've got to learn to posture yourself in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, when I get to know Holy Spirit, I get to know how Holy Spirit works. R.A. Torrey, the great revivalist and theologian, wrote a book called The Person and the Work of the Holy Spirit. And he makes this great statement. He says, if we related to the Holy Spirit as the divine person that He is, rather than simply just a force or a power, we would no longer say, more of you, Holy Spirit. We would rather say, Holy Spirit, have more of me. We've got to live out of that flow of relationship. We've got to live out of the flow of intimacy with the Holy Spirit. And it's out of that that we need to react and move in the supernatural. And the supernatural always works through simple, quick obedience. Do you know, the greatest fear that I still have happens from the time I get my blessed assurance off this seat right up to this pulpit grabbing this mic. I still have to cross a fear barrier. I still have to cross the sense of, God, if you don't rock up tonight, this is going to be bad. Because I got nothing much to give these people other than that which you've given me. My worst moment, and God often seems to do this, is while I'm having a good steak at a restaurant. And He says, you see that waiter over there? You need to go and prophesy over them. I'm like shaking, thinking, God, they're going to think I'm a fruitcake. But when you consistently obey what God does, even to your own embarrassment, God adds to you in the realm of the supernatural. Faithful with the little, super duper faithful with the much. You see, most of us want an upfront ministry without ever realizing it's what happens in the private place that prepares you for the public place. You know, you can flow in many signs and wonders, but until you get it right privately. The days I spent in my room praying, receiving from God as a teenager, the times that I waste just loving on Jesus, is what prepares me for this ministry. I can't do this any other way. And to live in the supernatural requires that you engage with heaven's supernatural reality often. And the culture of heaven is worship. We've got to be radical worshipers. I want to come in just for a landing very quickly. This one will help some people. Many Christians, when they begin to engage with the supernatural, get revelation from God that they equate to their personal measure of character. The problem is that God often gives us incredible revelation that we need to incubate and grow for a season, not blurt out every time we get it. And the measure of your character is what helps you understand what God is doing or what He's not doing. Just because, I'm just trying to figure out how to explain this, Lord help me. The Bible talks about measure, that you have a particular sphere of faith that God has given you. Amen? And that means within that particular measure, you can grow and you can experience the things of God. But that does not mean that you have the right to infringe or bring that measure into someone else's place or measure. Kind of like if I had a garage with a fleet of cars, and although my garage was pristine, amazing, beautiful, that doesn't give me the right to walk across the road to someone else's garage and tell them what to do. My measure does not extend there, because even though I'm an owner of that garage, in this garage I'm just a customer. You get that? Now here's what happens spiritually. God gives us a measure because of revelation that begins to grow. And some of us, as we're growing in that measure, and I've done this a number of times, overextend our influence because we think that our measure is bigger than it is. And therefore, as we overextend our influence, we cause damage in other people's spheres of influence. And here's how it practically works. Like, for example, I get a wonderful prophetic word. Now I think this prophetic word is for everyone else. So I get up and bring it on a Sunday without the permission of the pastor, let's say. And I bring this directional word that is beyond my measure to carry that word. And what happens is it causes more damage than faith being released. And listen, this is how measure is recognized. Measure is recognized by people around you saying, this incredible gift can you gave, I see God giving you favor, therefore I'm going to make room for you to operate in that favor. When measure is recognized, it's released. Up until that point, you have a responsibility to hold on to revelation and work with it in your heart. Problem is, most people don't realize that their sphere of faith most often begins in their home. And if you can't extend the measure of faith in your home, buddy, you are not going to get it right in church. And if you can't take that measure of faith to the workplace and be full of integrity and extend faith and the measure of faith in your workplace, you are not going to get it right as a manager in that workplace. Do you see what I'm saying? And when you're faithful with the measure that God gives you, the revelation measure that God gives you, and you apply what He gives you in your place of influence, it grows and grows and grows and grows. I love it when people look at other pastors and say, I can do a better job than them. If they haven't lived the life or paid the price. Friends, God wants to unlock the supernatural, but He's not going to give you an AK-47 if you can't handle a pistol. And the reason why He puts you into a church, God bless you, is to help you grow in maturity in the life of the supernatural. You understand that? Some of you are going to have to grow up in this season, find your place and operate in that place without being grumpy or criticizing. Because the journey that you're going to go on as a church is going to be full of mistakes. But I'm so glad that Jesus has treated me better than I deserve. Because that's an opportunity for me to treat others better than they deserve. You see, I get very nervous when people say to me, I'm right behind you, Julian, because then I start looking for a knife. Because I know what it's like. You see, I have people alongside of me who carry and shoulder this. It's easy to criticize something you don't own. Brothers and sisters, the supernatural in this church is about to break open at a viral level, okay? It's going to go viral. People are going to hear, people are going to be coming. I see healing rooms, I see all that stuff happening here. But if you don't walk within the measure that God's given you and grow that measure collectively as a church, the wine is going to mess all over the place and we'll lose it. The realm of the supernatural is not for fruitcakes or space cadets. It's for people who are connected to earth and to heaven. My feet are on the ground. They really are. My head is in the heavens. And somewhere between, I'm releasing the kingdom. You'll see greater things than Nathaniel saw. That's the promise. And I want to live with an expectation of that. But when I come into churches like this, I know what it's like because I elder a church for 7 years. You get the big prophet of God coming and they mess everything up. The glory comes and everyone now has a new ministry and a new anointing and they're about to go, we're going. We got the anointing, the prophet. Did you not hear the prophet? The prophet said this about me. The problem is that what the prophet said often is going to take another 15 years to work itself out. Because God's more interested in your character than He is in your calling. Because your character will take you, your calling can only take you so far, but your character will help you fulfill your destiny.
For regular updates and more information about Life Changes Church, please visit our website, www.lifechanges.org.za. The Lord bless you.